Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Theologian Henry Drummond, a contemporary of Mrs. Eddy's, published a book on love, the greatest thing in the world. She once said she had intended to write such a book herself, but Professor Drummond had done it so well that he had saved her the effort. The book is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Bible. I have made a copy of the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 of the New Living Translation, and I put it in the foyer if you would like to pick up a copy of that when you leave today. Well, he expounds on how the spectrum of love has nine main, what he calls, ingredients: patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. He says these make up the supreme gift, the stature of the perfect man. Well, last week's lesson on Doctrine of Atonement, which got me sort of in the mood of thinking about love, made me think to do this updated and revised series that I did the first 10 weeks of my term when I first started reading. So I'm going to be doing an in-depth updated study on each aspect of these ingredients of love through the Bible and the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. The first one tonight will be on patience, love, suffering long. This is what Drummond has to say about this one. Patience. This is the normal attitude of love. Love passive. Love waiting to begin. Not in a hurry. Calm, ready to do its work when summons comes. But meantime, wearing the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Love suffers long, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. For love understands and therefore waits. Now let's begin our service by singing hymn number 228. I'll read the third verse. With love we meet the low, despite of such as hate our master's way. With patience he maintained the right, so may we triumph day by day. Hymn number 228.
With patience, he may change the
I'll read from the Bible. 1 Corinthians, love is patient. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Matthew. Here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the seeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barns." Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Matthew. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." John. Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ecclesiastes. Finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. Accept the way God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? Psalms. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. John. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. Joshua. Take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Romans. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, for we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. 2 John. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments and bring forth fruit with patience. I shall now read correlative scriptures from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Patience is symbolized by the tireless worm creeping over lofty summits, persevering in its intent. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, he directs our path. Imperfect mortals grasp the ultimate of spiritual perfection slowly. But to begin a ride and to continue the strife of demonstrating the great problem of being is doing much. The divine demand, be ye therefore perfect, is scientific, and the human footsteps leading to perfection are indispensable. Individuals are consistent who, watching and praying, can run and not be weary, walk and not faint, who gain good rapidly and hold their position or attain slowly, and yield not to discouragement. God requires perfection, but not until the battle between spirit and flesh is fought and the victory won. Motives and acts are not rightly valued before they are understood. It is well to wait till those whom you would benefit are ready for the blessing, for science is working changes in personal character as well as in the material universe. The understanding, even in a degree, of the divine, all power, destroys fear and plants the feet in the true path, the path which leads to the house built without hands, eternal in the heavens. Human hate has no legitimate mandate and no kingdom. Love is enthroned. That evil or matter has neither intelligence nor power is the doctrine of absolute Christian science. And this is the great truth which strips all disguise from error. He who understands in a sufficient degree the principle of mind healing points out to his student error as well as truth, the wrong as well as the right practice. Love for God and man is the true incentive in both healing and teaching. Love inspires, illumines, designates, and leads the way. Right motives give pinions to thought and strength and freedom to speech and action. Love is priestess at the altar of truth. Wait patiently for divine love to move upon the waters of mortal mind and form the perfect concept. Patience must have her perfect work. Work out your own salvation is the demand of life and love. For to this end, God worketh with you. Occupy till I come. Wait for your reward and be not weary in well-doing. If your endeavors are beset by fearful odds and you receive no present reward, go not back to error, nor become a sluggard in the race. When the smoke of battle clears away, you will discern the good you have done and receive according to your deserving. Love is not hasty to deliver us from temptation, for love means that we shall be tried and purified. Trials are proofs of God's care. Spiritual development germinates not from seed sown in the soil of material hopes, but when these decay, love propagates anew the higher joys of spirit, which have no taint of earth. Each successive stage of experience unfolds new views of divine goodness and love. Amidst gratitude for conjugal felicity, it is well to remember how fleeting are human joys. Amidst conjugal infelicity, it is well to hope, pray, and wait patiently on divine wisdom to point out the path. The poor, suffering heart needs its rightful nutriment, such as peace, patience, and tribulation, and a priceless sense of the dear Father's loving kindness. In order to cure his patient, the metaphysician must first cast moral evils out of himself and thus attain the spiritual freedom which will enable him to cast physical evils out of his patient. But heal he cannot while his own spiritual barrenness debars him from giving drink to the thirsty and hinders him from reaching his patient's thought, yea, while mental penury chills his faith and understanding. The physician who lacks sympathy for his fellow being is deficient in human affection. And we have the apostolic warrant for asking, he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Not having this spiritual affection, the physician lacks faith in the divine mind and has not that recognition of infinite love, which alone confers the healing power. The tender word and Christian encouragement of an invalid, pitiful patience with his fears and the removal of them, are better than hecatomb of gushing theories, stereotyped borrowed speeches, and the doling of arguments, which are but so many parodies on legitimate Christian science aflame with divine love. The sharp experiences of belief in the supposititious life of matter, as well as our disappointments and ceaseless woes, turn us like tired children to the arms of divine love. It is easier to desire truth than to rid oneself of error. Mortals may seek the understanding of Christian science, but they will not be able to glean from Christian science the facts of being without striving for them. This strife consists in the endeavor to forsake error of every kind and to possess no other consciousness but good. Through the wholesome chastisements of love, we are helped onward in the march towards righteousness, peace, and purity, which are the landmarks of science. Beholding the infinite tasks of truth, we pause, wait on God. Then we push onward until boundless thought walks enraptured, and conception unconfined is winged to reach the divine glory. Simply asking that we may love God will never make us love Him. But the longing to be better and holier, expressed in daily watchfulness and in striving to assimilate more of the divine character, will mold and fashion us anew until we awake in His likeness. We reach the science of Christianity through demonstration of the divine nature. But in this wicked world, goodness will be evil spoken of, and patience must bring experience. Audible prayer can never do the works of spiritual understanding, which regenerates. But silent prayer, watchfulness, and devout obedience enable us to follow Jesus' example. St. Paul wrote, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Let's sing our second hymn. I'll read the third verse. Teach me thy patience, still with thee in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong. Hymn number 234. Good evening, and welcome to those that have joined us on the call-in line. We are so glad that you're there. I have only two reminders that I would like to share. One is the upcoming lecture this coming next Tuesday, October the 29th at 7 p.m. at the First Church of Christ Scientist in Bloomington. They'll be hosting the free lecture by Mary Alice Rose, CSB, at the Monroe County Public Library. The topic of this lecture is the science of Christianity. And then also coming up on November the 2nd, a Saturday at 10 a.m., our church is hosting a long-year museum talk on the newly published book, Life at 400 Beacon Street, Working in Mary Baker Eddy's Household, by Heather Vogel Frederick. Hope you can maybe visit the two of those activities. Shirley, no, Kant has the microphone. If you feel more comfortable staying seated, please do so. Now it's your turn to share any healings that you've had, any thoughts that you would like to share. And just make sure you speak nice and closely into the microphone so that we can all hear online and those in the audience. Now it's your turn.
Thanks for those readings, Jean. That was great. Yeah, you can never hear those passages too often. They're just wonderful to contemplate and all the different ideas about patience. I'm so grateful for that. And then, you know, we went to this talk on this book. I don't know if any of you have committed to going to this talk with this new long year book. But me and Dory went. They it was given in Naples this past winter at some point. And I encourage anybody that can fit into their schedule to go. I absolutely loved it. And I've read like a half the book. And the thing that was just so appealing to me with that is how Mrs. Eddy's just her sense of love for everybody that lived or came into her home is incredible. She tells a story where the author does, the lady giving the talk, right? She's the author, whatever her name is, or she quarterbacked the book. But she talks in there that Mrs. Eddy, when the seasons would change, Mrs. Eddy would go around to everyone's room and make sure that the temperature and whatever they needed to make sure they were comfortable. Like there was no part of love and her sense of concern for the well-being of those in her household. I mean, there was to no means she wouldn't go to ensure their comfort and their well-being. It's just incredible. It's so practical, and there's so many other things in that book that are just spectacular that I love. But anyways, what I'm very grateful for, what I give gratitude tonight is our daughter went to ride horses, I don't know, it was like 2 weeks ago now, with a friend in Ocala, Florida. And it's a friend she met at Prin, and then she spent a week with this friend at a Christian Scientist horse farm in Cincinnati, and they spent a week. So they got to know each other pretty good. She went up to her, and her parents moved to California just because the horses. It's, I guess, the horse capital of the world in the winter. And it's this cool place. But anyways, she goes up there to ride horses, and they go to this place to ride these horses, and Bridget ends up riding a rescue racehorse. I don't know all the details about this stuff, but anyways, the way that racehorses are trained to obey the commands are different than a regular horse. So I guess with these rescues, they have to retrain them. Anyways, they're riding this horse, and Bridget uses the wrong command and gets thrown from the horse. The good thing is, this has happened to her before, so her fear around this and the seeming physical picture is pretty cool. She isn't as alarmed as maybe you could be when something like this happens. I mean, these horses are big and they're doing whatever they're doing. So, anyways, we pick her up and she explains this, and because we notice that she's walking with some difficulty. And it was funny because in the lesson, so as we started, you know, doing our treatments, but in the lesson, and I just said it because I love this phrase that was in the lesson in Science and Health, but it was so sweet because this is what came to thought immediately. Because, you know, you see the picture and who is it challenged by it? Is it real or is it not real? You know, and we know it's not real. We know we're never for a second outside of God's complete care and his complete harmony, and God is all powerful and all presence and all knowing. So it's impossible. But obviously when you're seeing it, you know, you want to unsee it. So anyways, this is what came to thought in the lesson. It said, and this is what gave the courage to be like, oh, I love that when these things come right to thought, and this was good for the lesson. But it said, it is only by acknowledging the supremacy of spirit which annuls the claims of matter. So this is a claim of matter, right, that she was material and in a material circumstance. But that's just not the truth. And so at that moment, we could acknowledge, and it was only by acknowledging the supremacy of spirit. Like I said, God was all presence, all knowing, all power. And so that means all harmonious, all comforting. And so it was just great. So anyways, we'd given it a treatment. We'd kind of moved on. And I don't know what day it was, but then we went boating and we're doing a surfing. And then that night, totally had dismissed it from thought, and she was completely healed. I happened to watch a video of her surfing, and then we recollected back that I don't remember when the healing occurred, but it was gone. And we had talked to Bridget like, "Are you?" And she's like, "No, I'm completely free." So Christian Science is amazing. These specific truths that allow us to have the courage to deny what appears to be real in our experience, because we know what is real and we know how absolutely good and powerful God is. And I am just so grateful grateful for my kids that get those experiences and grateful for them to have these challenges that allow them to see the nothingness of the situation. But I mean, I'm just so grateful for Christian Science and Mrs. Eddy's revelation of what she read in the Bible and seeing the allness of God, and then that's it. I'm just so grateful.
Thank you.
Thanks for that wonderful lesson tonight. I've read Drummond's book many times and referred to it, and I know a lot of us here have. But The Greatest Thing in the World is Love. It's really a terrific read if you haven't read it. I was on this subject, patience. Earlier this month, I was able to attend Christian Science Association of my brother, who is a Christian Science teacher, and his subject, his address, was on love. And he tells the story, and I hope it's okay, I don't think he'll mind if I relay it to you, that in the 70s, when their kids were little girls, two little girls, their next door neighbor's daughter would go out on dates on Saturday night, and the boyfriend, when he would leave between 12 and 1 almost every Saturday night, would rev his engine and peel rubber down the street, making a loud noise and wake everybody up. This went on for a year and a half, and he would pray about it, meekly trying to, I think I would have called the cops and said something, but my brother is a very meek person, and handled it metaphysically. It came to a head, and it seemed like this young boy would do it to annoy him. There was the feeling that they were doing it on purpose, because the two properties were conjoined by driveways on either side of a fence. And it was very loud. And it came to a head when one night the boyfriend came over and knocked on the window, bedroom window of my brother's. He thought it was their bedroom, but it was one of his daughter's, and just frightened the heck out of this poor little girl. And she went running in and said, the robber's trying to get, and she didn't know what was going on. So he had it. He went over and actually spoke to the neighbor and said, "Look, we've got to do something about this. This can't go on anymore." So the father, next door neighbor, talked to the guy, and things subsided for a couple of months. Then they started up again. And the same thing every Saturday night, peeling rubber down the block, making a loud noise with the car. So one Saturday, the boyfriend came and parked his car in the driveway, actually is just beyond the driveway, a little area in the yard. And my brother had his pool in his backyard, and he was cleaning his pool, and he was standing on the diving board looking around. I guess he was using a hose, watering things off or whatever. And he noticed that the boyfriend's car, which I believe was like an old Pontiac Trans Am with a T-top where you could take off two sections of the top, and there was like a T down the middle, and it was like a convertible almost. And a huge thundercloud was coming, a huge storm. Well, they left for like a auto show or something that down at their Coliseum, and he parked his car in the backyard with the top open. And here is this huge storm coming. So it was ready to pour rain any minute. My brother ran and grabbed a tarp and ran over and covered up the guy's car, the roof, so it wouldn't rain inside his beautiful car. Just as he got done, the rains came and poured, and just absolutely was a huge thunderstorm. But the car was fine because Noel had covered the car up with a tarp. Well, a few minutes later, they came barreling up in the girlfriend's car, and he ran back to where his car was, and there was the tarp. And the mother of the daughter came out and said, he said, well, who did this? And she said, pointed over to my neighbor, and he was still on his diving board. He could see over the fence, and he waved at the guy. And he said, the look on his face was unbelievable. He came over, brought the tarp back, sheepishly said, thank you, and then kind of skulked away. That was the end of it. But that patience and that effort of love to do something for somebody who, I don't know if he hated my brother or what the deal was, I thought it was a wonderful example of patience and love expressed just through letting love work itself out. And that was the end of it. They never had any more trouble, no more tire squealing or anything like that.
Goodness, thank you.
Thank you for your readings. I love Corinthians 13, and I can't let this discussion go without saying how it means a lot in our lives. when I was in college, just after, right around Thanksgiving, I had gone through several relationships. One pretty serious, and I decided that I no longer wanted to be around any men, that I pretty much just wanted to devote my life to God for now because everything else was pointless. And I said, so God, how can I serve you? And so the answer that came was to plan a retreat weekend. I was at Ball State and the president of the org. And I thought, well, that's a good use of my time, and God will be the man in my life, and that's where I'm going with that. So in the planning of that, I sent out letters, emails and letters, I think physical letters with my email on it, to every church in Indiana, inviting anyone in high school or anyone in college or anyone going to a college from out of state to come to the retreat weekend. That was going to be the weekend before Thanksgiving at Ball State because I was in an org house, so we could actually have the whole retreat at the house. And the very first email I got back was from Gabe. And it was the most joyous expression of love and joy and everything, that I was like, oh, I can't wait to meet this person. That's pretty cool. But I was never, ever even thinking. I was like, done with men. I was just like, super cool to meet somebody that was enthusiastic about Christian Science as I was. So I thought, well, that's going to be super cool. Well, very quickly, we realized that the weekend before Thanksgiving, he couldn't be there because he would still be in New Hampshire on his break with his family because they were on a different system of their vacations and stuff. And so actually it worked out. There were several people that couldn't make it then, so we switched it to the weekend after. And so that was really great. So now we're just switching it so it looked like he could come. What I didn't know at the time, and I'll get to Corinthians 13, but what I didn't know at the time was he didn't have a car prior to Thanksgiving. He had a motorcycle that he drove back to New Hampshire. And so going from Terre Haute, where he was at Earls Holman, to Ball State is not a short trip, 2 hours or something like that, in the winter. And he had inherited basically a car from a family member that could no longer make the payments when he was in New Hampshire over Thanksgiving and drove it back to school. It allowed him to make the retreat, which was the weekend after Thanksgiving. Pretty cool first miracle. So so we met, and I was like, not thinking, I want to hang out with this thought more because it's really exciting and joyful and the love of God and love of church. Just love that. And so very quickly got to know each other and kind of like each other, but there was IU had a Christmas party for their org that at the end of that weekend, like that Sunday night or something, I think it was, right? Am I right? Wasn't it that thing at right after the org weekend? It was like, or was it the next weekend? I don't know. Maybe, okay, the next weekend. So because he had a car, it allowed him to come back and pick me up and go to IU. And we went with another friend. And it was pretty great because everyone knows Dave Horn, Dave and Evelyn Horn, and he was a practitioner that was actually working with me at the time, praying for me, and came and gave a talk at this org weekend. And so I was getting to know Dave pretty well at that time. And Evelyn said, well, you and Dave and Penny was my other friend who came with us. You could stay at our house and go to this Christmas party at the IU and everything. So we did. And that night that we were staying at their home, that Henry Drummond book was there. And it was just the coolest thing. So Gabe and Penny and I stayed up late, 1 or 2 in the morning. And we stayed up pretty late reading through that book and discussing what love was from Henry Drummond's perspective. And just it was the first time I had read it, so it was really overwhelmingly amazing to me, just every word and every phrase and of Corinthians 13. It was so cool. And by the end of reading that book with my friends, I was like, yeah, I could probably hang out with you the rest of my life. So, and within 5 weeks, we were engaged. So, pretty cool story, and it's very meaningful to our life and to the beginning of our relationship. I'm so grateful for Corinthians 13 and for Henry Drummond's book in particular, based on, you know, all the blessings that came from studying that.
Well, thank you. You'll have to come back and hear the other 8.
This is very simple, but worth sharing. last week, our son was traveling to Europe, and specifically to England. And when I knew that it was about time for him to take off at the airport, I texted and said, yeah, have a great trip. And he texted back and said, my plane is late, and I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to connect with the flight that was going to take him to London. And this was all texting. And I texted back and said, you will be in your right place at the right time. And it's always good to think about how Jesus was at the other shore. End of text. And I don't know the time length, but later I got a text, and the response was, I'm on the plane, I had to run, I was the last person on before they closed the door, but on my way. And I was so grateful. To me, that was applying the truth And he obviously was receptive to the idea, and I was acknowledging it. And whether it's something as simple as that, the truth, when applied, works. And I'm very grateful for Christian Science, and patience does have its perfect work. Thank you for your readings.
Thank you.
I just want to say real quickly, we just got back from a trip to Florida, and on the way back, there were sign after sign, I mean billboard, saying Jesus is with us, God is with Jesus, God is love. I mean, these huge billboards, constant. And I was thinking, that's a little offensive. I mean, and then I turned around and I thought, wait a minute. These are opportunities for you, me, myself, to think about how wonderfully precious the thoughts are we have from Christian Science regarding our relationship to God and Jesus and the Lord. And it was just all the rest of the way. I'd see one and think, you know, divine love always has met and always loved me. Every human, you know, things came to me that were wonderful Christian Science thoughts. And I'm grateful I could turn that around and not think negative, but positive about these billboards. And that was a good thing as far as in our travels. So
I just want to also mention, I so appreciate the readings from the desk tonight. They were exceptional. Really appreciate it. And made me think about love and the Henry Drummond book that my mother always had by her bed and read often. And I love so much as well. And Leo Biscaglia wrote a book, some of you might know about him, Living, Loving, and Learning. And it was an incredible book. And he was in, I believe, UCLA, and he was trying to teach a class on love. And time after time, he had to show a lot of patience. They would turn him down and say, no, no one's going to go to a class on love. And eventually, he was persistent, and they did allow him to teach a class on love. And that class was always, always beyond full, you know, waiting list to get in. So all these, the readings tonight reminded me of how important love is and often how people are hungry for love and how in our lives it's so important to always show love to others, even though it might be hard sometimes with certain individuals, but it's always so important to show love and acknowledge that God is love. Thank you again.
Thank you.
I'm going to squeeze one more in. I just wanted to say I just got back from a trip and also was driving. And I was so grateful for everyone who's responsible for the listen line. And it was great to turn on the radio just turn it on and hear you and Scott and hear our music and musicians and hearing the songs during the service and the service. It was very uplifting, and I think it helped my thought as I was driving. So very grateful for that. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Well, thank you all for your testimonies and thoughts. Let's conclude our service by singing hymn number 85. I'll read the last verse. All the way that we must go, we will take at thy direction. Where the floods of trouble flow, find thy perfect calm reflection. On the path that has no turning, patience, courage, meekness, learning. Hymn number 85.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.